You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Wicomico County, Maryland, Sheriff Mike Lewis. Sheriff, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Dave. Thank you for having me on the show.
Sheriff, you've been in the media lately a lot, which is great. There's a lot of folks out there rooting for you because they're looking for somebody like you in reference to what they see coming from the mainstream media. And I want to get into that in great detail in a moment, and also your experience in Baltimore and where you think things are going. But before we do that, for the benefit of the listeners, can you give them a little bit of background about who you are, how you got in law enforcement, where you're from?
You know, Dave, I came in law enforcement in 1984, 2 years out of high school. I joined the ranks of the Maryland State Police in June of 1984. Worked various assignments as a Maryland State Trooper throughout the state of Maryland to include Traffic Operations Section, Drug Enforcement Division, Commercial Vehicle Enforcement Division, and ultimately ended my career as the commander of the Interstate Criminal Enforcement Team. We were tasked with working the major drug trafficking cartels that were bringing drugs into and throughout North America. I was elected sheriff in November of 2006 after serving 22 years with the Maryland State Police. I retired July 1st, 2006 to focus on a campaign for sheriff in my county, a county in which I was born and raised. I was elected in 06, re-elected again in 10 after running unopposed, re-elected again in 14 after running unopposed, and I'm proud to say that I'm serving my third term as sheriff here in Wicomico County.
Okay, great. And I just want to ask you something about here. I read on your website, on the WicomicoSheriff.com website, what is a criminal interdiction expert? What exactly is that?
Yes, sir. Well, criminal interdiction is obviously seizing the opportunity of a traffic stop, looking for any and all signs of criminal activity, because criminals are most vulnerable at the traffic stop as they travel from point A to point B. And in my 22 years with the Maryland State Police, I developed a reputation of having a unique ability to detect criminal activity on the roadside during a traffic stop that led to many sensational cases, quite honestly. If you think about some of the most sensational cases in our country, they've been solved by the uniformed cop at the traffic stop. Timothy James McVeigh is a prime example of that. He fled the Oklahoma City bombing, had carried out his mission, but an hour and 18 minutes north of Oklahoma City, an alert Oklahoma State trooper by the name of Charles Hanger conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle for a registration violation. He had no idea that Timothy James McVeigh had just bombed the Alpha Mura building in downtown Oklahoma City. But he would arrest Timothy James McVeigh for a loaded handgun violation, and it would be the following day he would learn that the man he had arrested on a handgun violation was in fact responsible for the Oklahoma City bombing. And as you well know, McVeigh would die in Terre Haute, Indiana for his crime. And then many other cases have been solved by the law enforcement officer at the traffic stop. And that's something that I kind of perfected here in the state of Maryland and gained a national reputation as a criminal interdiction expert, been recognized by the federal courts and the state courts in this nation as an interdiction expert. And I'm called upon frequently by the U.S. Attorney's Office to deliver expert testimony in this area.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Did you happen to hear about that matter back in December of 2013 where that fella from Florida was driving through the Fort McHenry tunnel and he got stopped with a gun?
I did hear about that.
What are your views on that?
Well, I was very bothered by that, obviously. If anyone knows anything about me, I'm a staunch defender of our Second Amendment right to bear arms, and I've been very vocal about that, and I don't like to see that encroached or infringed upon in any way. And when you have an individual who is a legal, lawful handgun permit holder in the state of Florida, yes, it is a technical violation to bring a loaded firearm in the state of Maryland, because Maryland is a very liberal state, as you well know, and they're very strict on firearm usage. But when it encroaches on otherwise law-abiding citizens, I'm bothered by that.
Yeah, I figured that from the little I know about you. And just for the listeners, Wicomico County is over in, and the reason I can pronounce it properly is only because we were going to move to Wicomico County from Monmouth County, New Jersey. It didn't work out, but it's a beautiful county there. I guess Salisbury is the biggest town there, and that's where Frank Perdue is. And that's on the eastern shore of Maryland, separated from, I guess, a completely different world, the other side of Maryland, where Baltimore and Washington, D.C. area is. Isn't that right?
I must say, Dave, you really impressed me with your pronunciation of Wicomico, because very few people get that right, and I knew you must have had some type of personal relationship to Wicomico County or had been through here, but you're exactly right. It's a beautiful area in which to raise a family. We are located between the Atlantic Ocean and the Chesapeake Bay. We're 2 hours due east of Baltimore City, and it's just a beautiful place to raise a family. It's a place that I've called home for 50 years, and I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Yeah, it is beautiful, and that's exactly why we were looking in that area.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you some questions, Sheriff. Like I said, you have, I think, struck a chord with a lot of Americans and probably people around the world. You've been on Fox News. You just were interviewed by Fox News right before we're speaking right now. And you might appear on John Hannity's show later on today. So you obviously have struck a chord with listeners and viewers, and there's a reason for that. And the reason is that you're obviously not taking the politically correct stance that most of these people are doing, like Maryland's former governor said, Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, and then he came and apologized for saying that. I mean, I guess that's the extreme of political correctness there.
No, Dave, I got to tell you.
Yeah, go ahead.
You and I spoke on the phone last night, and I was reading former Governor Martin O'Malley's comments where he was apologizing. And quite honestly, it didn't surprise me at all that he apologized, because that's his style. He's all about political correctness. He's all about liberalism. And I got to tell you, he absolutely ruined the state of Maryland as governor. And I had made my mind up months ago, when it was very clear that he was preparing himself on a political platform at a national level on the backs of Marylanders. I made my mind up that if, in fact, he chose to run, I had a duty and a responsibility to inform people about this former governor. Because one thing we know for sure, this individual has done nothing but enslave and impoverish Marylanders for his own power and political gain. It's clear that's what he's doing. And the fact that he apologized for saying what he said, that all lives matter, of course all lives matter. Why would you apologize for that? Why did he apologize? Because he quickly found out it wasn't politically correct and it offended some of the blacks. And right away he starts apologizing. That's what makes me sick to my stomach. Yeah. Political correctness has destroyed this country. And as long as I have a platform, and I've been given a platform by the American people, I will no longer be silenced. I will speak up for those whose voices are silenced in this country.
Personally, I'm very glad you said that and happy that you recognize that, because people are looking for somebody like you, Sheriff, and somebody like, I think that's Sheriff Clark out there in the Midwest.
Absolutely, in Milwaukee. He's a fine man. But you know, Dave, if we in law enforcement do not uphold the Constitution, we have to uphold the Constitution and the principles of our founding fathers, and we are no better than any other country that does enslave and impoverish its citizens for their own leaders' power and personal gain. I'm sorry, I am who I am, but I will not recognize, like many people do, like Martin O'Malley, that political correctness is what we need to be very much in tune to every day. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. You and I both know it's destroyed our country. We need to take this country back and move it in the opposite direction in which we're moving right now under Obama, Eric Holder, and that whole Obama administration.
This question I was going to ask later, but I'll ask you now, because I'm sure it's on the lips of a lot of people. Are you planning on, or would you consider running for higher office?
Dave, I will tell you this. I have never considered running for higher office. I love being a police officer. I love being a sheriff of my county. I love to do the job that my American people have elected me to do. However, as every day passes and I see what's unfolding in this country, and the deal we struck last week with Iran, honestly, it was a deal breaker for me. Yes, I will consider higher office. But I got to tell you, it's not something I aspire to do. It's not something I intended to do. But every day when I'm out here in the community and I hear the concerns of the American people and those people in my county, it's not just those people in my county. Dave, as you said, I'm all over the country. Last week alone, I was in Northwest Arkansas. I was in Savannah, Georgia last week alone. And I heard the concerns of the American people out there. They're looking for someone in a leadership position to speak to the American people on their concerns. We're tired of being silenced by the majority in Washington, D.C. We need to know there are other people out there, like-minded people, who feel that this country's headed in the wrong direction. So what I consider it, you bet I'm going to consider it more today than ever before.
That's great. That's awesome. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be happy when they hear this. Let me get to the question, Sheriff. You mentioned Obama. If that's even his real name. It seems like it's not. But why do you think Obama shows up at the funerals of criminals across the country, but not law-abiding police officers and citizens?
You know, it's absolutely despicable. It is absolutely unconscionable to me to think that not only would Obama show up, but his representatives routinely show up at funerals for these thugs that have challenged police officers. They've been defiant in law enforcement's eyes. In many cases, the Michael Brown case down in Ferguson is a prime example. A prime example. Michael Brown down in Ferguson, Missouri, he wrote his own death ticket. He challenged that police officer. Not only did he challenge the police officer, he rushed him, he attempted to disarm him, and he got precisely what he deserved. Thank God that law enforcement officer survived that fatal encounter, and thank God that he was able to go home to his family at night. But his life, his career, his profession is done. It's over with. all because everyone started screaming and hollering. He executed this man in the street, hands up, don't do it. We all know that was a fallacy. We all know that never occurred. But it doesn't matter to certain segments of society that that never occurred. To them, they still think that that Ferguson police officer executed Michael Brown, when in fact, Michael Brown executed himself.
That's right. And they still think that he had his hands up because of the money that's being poured into these campaigns by outside agitators like George Soros.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, just recently, Obama went and visited some prisoners. Why do you think it is that he's going to visit these prisoners who are in jail for, probably most of them are in jail for valid reasons. There are cases where people have been wrongfully imprisoned. But why do you think he's doing that and he's not visiting the families of people who have been tortured to death, like what happened, obviously, in Washington, D.C.? I think it's along those same exact lines. Are they sending a message? Is Obama and his crew sending a message that white lives don't matter?
You know, Dave, we watched that unfold last week when I was down in Savannah, Georgia. I was with over 400 police officers from across the state of Georgia and prosecutors. And to see him in Oklahoma at a federal penitentiary, it's clear that he's trying to solidify their votes, because ultimately he's going to commute many, many more before he leaves. We all know that. And what disgusts me to no end, he talks about these guys receiving these harsh prison sentences for nonviolent crimes. Statistically speaking, 87% of all crime that we handle in law enforcement today is directly linked to drugs and drug addiction. 87%. The overwhelming majority of the homicides that are occurring in Baltimore City today, the overwhelming majority are drug-related, gang-related homicides. So when these individuals are ultimately sentenced to smuggling and importing and distributing hundreds of kilograms of cocaine, the threshold is 5 kilograms or more. So you hear 5 kilograms, oh, he smuggled 5 kilograms, or he imported 5. That's just the threshold for the sentence in which they got. These investigations literally took months and in some cases years to conduct. It took thousands and thousands of man hours by investigators and prosecutors to prepare for trial. We have finally gotten these individuals off the street. They've been arrested many times before. We finally got them off the street, only for the President of the United States to commute their sentence and set them free because it was a nonviolent crime. God knows how many homicides took place. God knows how many families were robbed of their personal possessions, their personal joy, their heirlooms, because their children are now drug addicts stealing from them so they can get that next fix. But Obama views it as a nonviolent crime, and he's going to commute their sentence and ultimately give them a presidential pardon. It sickens me. It absolutely sickens me.
You were in Baltimore, and it was televised, and you saw firsthand what was happening in Baltimore. There's a clip of you being interviewed by Fox News. Obviously, there's other networks that have interviewed you. You were on CNN. I saw that on the internet. But there was a clip of you in Baltimore in, I guess it looked like almost like battle gear. I mean, you had to be. Obviously, these people were shooting at helicopters and shooting at people who were trying to put out fires. What happened there with somebody in a church I saw? And if you could mention that and also just give your overall view of the whole Baltimore matter.
I got to tell you, Dave, you mentioned me being in battle gear. You can rest assured, had the Baltimore City Police Department been allowed to do their jobs and allowed to do what they wanted to do, it would have been a battle. It would have been a battle. But this particular battle was one-sided, and it was the thugs, the absolute thugs, who were assaulting, feloniously assaulting the Baltimore City Police Department with large cinder blocks, with bricks. And keep in mind, one little brick weighs 5 pounds. Cinder block weighs 12 pounds. And they were launching cinder blocks, halves of cinder blocks. They were launching full bricks. They were launching bottles, Molotov cocktails at police officers who were told, not only do you stand down, but there were many times they were told to evacuate. Evacuate the city while the looting was going on, while the destruction was going on. And, you know, I read an article yesterday, 61 businesses were burned. Well, there were over 350 businesses that were severely damaged, looted, destroyed. Those that were burned were considered total losses. But no one has said anything really about the 100 plus. It's right around 170 police officers who were injured, many of them seriously injured. Many of those injuries were career-ending injuries. And in many cases, Dave, and not everyone knows this, these police officers made arrest of individuals for assault on them, only to have someone of a higher authority within the BPD who were getting their orders directly from the mayor come by and say, unhandcuff them. unarrest them, let them go. I was up there with a BPD radio tethered to my body armor. Yes, I was in armored gear because I was ready to do battle with those bastards. I was ready to show them Baltimore Police Department might get their orders from the mayor, but I do not. My orders came from the governor. When the governor asked many sheriffs from across the state to go in, many of us responded to his call for assistance. I went up there prepared with my men in an MRAP, a mine-resistant armored platform vehicle, was very, very appropriate under the circumstances because there was a battle going on up there, and they were attacking our police officers with cinder blocks and bricks, and we knew that those bricks and cinder blocks wouldn't be able to penetrate the MRAP that we were taking up there, and we needed that protection to extricate and extract firemen, EMS workers from scenes they were being attacked. For God's sakes, fire hoses were being cut as soon as they'd roll them out to put out a fire. These thugs were cutting the fire hoses so they couldn't put water on the fire and letting the city burn.
Were they mostly blacks or were there some whites in there who were doing this?
The looting and rioting was almost 100% black, absolutely. The demonstrators and protesters in the days that followed were absolutely white and black. In fact, I will say something that I've told several people. In the days that followed, I was up there for 6 days, in the days that followed while we were trying to restore some normalcy to Baltimore City, it was the black people in that city that walked up to me repeatedly and shook my hand and thanked me for being there. I got by far more thank yous from the black people in Baltimore City than I did from the white people. On the other hand, I got by far more FUs from the white people than I did from the black people when I was in that city. The first night up there, the 27th and 28th of April, were the worst nights, as you can imagine. And that was primarily the blacks up there living in the city. However, the days that followed, as more white people were coming in by the carloads to demonstrate and protest, most of which had gauges in their ears, they were covered in tattoos. One thing that was very synonymous among these white protesters was that their hands were constantly waving in the air with their middle fingers up in my face, inches from my face, while videotaping me with their cell phone in one hand, they were giving me the middle finger in the other hand. And that was mostly the whites. Absolutely the whites.
Wow. Fools. First, let me ask you this, Sheriff. What do you think is the future of these inner-city communities?
Well, keep in mind, they've been under Democratic stronghold for decades. Baltimore City's a prime example. Let's talk about one thing. You asked me a good question, Dave. Our former governor, Martin O'Malley, for 7.5 years, he was a city councilman in Baltimore City when Baltimore City's homicide rate was at its highest. As you well know, he ran for mayor, and he became the mayor of Baltimore City for the next 8 years. Baltimore City's homicide rate continued to go through the ceiling. And then he became the governor of the state of Maryland for the next 8 years. So he's had almost 24 years to get this right. And we all saw what unfolded on April the 27th of this year under the leadership, the guidance, and a tutelage of former Governor Martin O'Malley. He's done nothing in Baltimore City. As you well know, he implemented a rain tax in the state of Maryland, the first ever in the nation, a rain tax in the state of Maryland. He raised our tolls at our toll facilities throughout the state of Maryland up to $6 one way on our tolls. Already, Republican Governor Larry Hogan has already lowered that down to $4 and plans to lower it even more. He campaigned to do that, and he's done that. Former Governor Martin O'Malley, now presidential candidate Martin O'Malley, he totally abolished the death penalty in the state of Maryland. And this was in the midst of a very highly publicized kidnapping and murder and brutal sexual assault of a little 11-year-old child in my county by the name of Sarah Foxwell. Sarah Foxwell was a beautiful young lady kidnapped in the middle of the night by a registered sex offender in Maryland and in Delaware. I pleaded with Annapolis. I pleaded with the governor's office. I testified to preserve the death penalty because this man deserved the death penalty. And by the way, he was a white male who brutally sexually assaulted this little girl. He brutally murdered her only after he strangled her, after he suffocated her, after he drowned her, and then burned her alive, 11 years old. I begged the governor, we need the death penalty. And before this man was ever convicted, the governor successfully abolished the death penalty. He told delegates, he told senators, you want your little pet projects in your respective counties and your jurisdictions, you will vote to abolish this death penalty in the state of Maryland because it's racially discriminatory. And he got what he wanted. He abolished the death penalty. He also passed a very comprehensive Firearm Safety Act of 2013, much to my dismay. If you Google my testimony on the Second Amendment before the House and the Senate in Annapolis, I fought against the governor. In fact, thousands of Mounders showed up in Annapolis to protest against the governor's Firearm Safety Act of 2013. Less than a handful, I think there were six or seven people who testified in support of the governor's, and of course they were urban city leaders, to include the Baltimore City Police Commissioner and the Baltimore County Chief of Police. I was up there along with several other sheriffs testifying, obviously in opposition of the Firearm Safety Act. It still passed. The governor holds the purse strings. You will vote for what I want, or you don't get your pet projects in your respective counties. It's despicable. It's disgusting. And this man's running for president of the United States. I hope the American people recognize him for what he is.
I think for the same reason that you're getting the attention that you are, I believe this fellow Donald Trump is getting the attention that he is, along the same lines, because you speak to the people and not to the whoever it is they're speaking to. The things that are happening in these inner city communities, what are the chances of this happening in beautiful Wicomico County? And if you don't think there is a chance, why not?
Well, I can tell you this. I will never allow it to happen here in Wicomico County. And listen, we have a good mayor here in Wicomico County. We have an excellent chief of police here in Wicomico County. She's very much a professional. I enjoy working with Chief Barbara Duncan. But Barbara and I see eye to eye on a number of things. And one thing's for sure, there will be no stand down order given here in Wicomico County. I can only hope that the venue change, if that comes, for those six police officers who were charged in the death of heroin dealer Freddie Gray, should that come to Wicomico County, you can rest assured we're not going to allow happen in Wicomico County what happened in Baltimore City.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think it is that the elite media has taken such a pro-rioter stance on everything?
You know, Dave, I'm still dumbfounded by that, quite honestly. And it's hurtful to me. It's hurtful to other law enforcement professionals who have dedicated their lives. First and foremost, Dave, we have a duty and responsibility to protect our citizens. But we have an equal responsibility to protect our property and to protect businesses. And we failed to do that in Baltimore City. And for those who don't recognize that, clearly are not business owners. They're not business owners who have worked their butts off the American dream, to have that American dream, and only to see their businesses that have been in the family legacy for decades be looted and burned by these thugs running around Baltimore City with carte blanche to do whatever they wanted to do. You know, riding through Baltimore City in the hours that followed the initial looting and rioting, and seeing the burned out halls of police cars, seeing the burned out halls of citizens' cars, seeing these burning businesses, and getting out of our vehicles and walking and seeing up close, I was stunned. I thought I was in Mogadishu. I thought I was in Iraq and Somalia. I've never been in either of these countries. But my brothers and sisters who have served in our armed forces, who have the utmost admiration and respect for those who have been protecting my safety, my security, and my freedom overseas, I couldn't help but think, Jesus Christ, what are we doing to protect their families here at home? What are we doing to protect our men and women in the armed forces, their families, who are here at home waiting for their return? What are we doing to protect them? And when I walked around Baltimore City, my thought was absolutely nothing. Our leaders, Mayor Stephanie Rowlands-Blake, allowed this to happen. That's why it will never happen in Wicomico County. Because let me tell you something, Dave, she's not going to call shots down here.
I'm just surprised that after she was caught saying what she said, giving them room to destroy, that she still has a job.
You know what? Not only was she caught saying it, she still denies it.
Right.
Well, that's not what I mean. You misinterpreted what I said. Please, it was what it was. I knew within hours of arriving in Baltimore City. City was on fire when we arrived. It was still burning, that putrid smell. The city was glowing. But to hear all the cops coming into BPD headquarters, I was on Lafayette Street. My job was to control all ingress and egress into BPD headquarters and into City Hall. And the hundreds of cops that came in and out. Not one car came through without stopping to thank us for being there. Most cars had between 3 and 5 cops in each car. They were worn down. They were beaten down. They were extremely apologetic. They were emotional at having been thrown out into the trenches with these wolves and given no means in which to protect themselves. They were dumbfounded. They were stunned. I heard many comments, I'm out of this effing city. I'm done here. I'm resigning. I'm going to work somewhere else. I gave many of my business cards out only upon request. Sheriff, are you hiring down in Wicomico County? Absolutely. Can I have your business card? And many of them have followed up not only with applications, with phone calls, and they have personally visited me here at this office. This week alone, I have received 2 phone calls of Baltimore City police officers that I do not know that are down in Ocean City, Maryland, vacation with their family, that would like for me to come over and have dinner with them and their families and buy me a beer. I don't know these cops, but I know one thing. They were not supported by the administration of Mayor Stephanie Rowlands-Blake. She threw these cops to the wolves.
Yeah, disgrace. Sheriff, you were just on the phone. You just got interviewed by Fox News about some tapes. Can you tell listeners about that?
3 weeks ago, I was in Baltimore City and was asked to go by Fox 45 up on TV Hill. I was interviewed by Joy LaPola, and Joy had done an incredible investigative job on successfully securing through the Freedom of Information Act request audio tapes of the Baltimore City Police Department during the riots. And she asked me if I would listen to these audio tapes. Now, the mainstream media and the national news are getting a hold of these now. But let me tell you what happened, Dave. It's very, very succinctly clear, if you listen to these tapes, that these police officers were ordered to stand down. They were ordered to hold the line. These police officers screaming, "We're being flanked. We need beanbags. We need tear gas. We're being beaten." And they were told, "Hold the line. Hold the line." They were actually told, "Evacuate the downtown area. Get out of the downtown area and respond back to BPD headquarters." Because these individuals, when I say individuals, these rioters, these looters, were overtaking the businesses. The cops could have held them accountable. The cops wanted to hold them accountable. We had reinforcements there, but they were told to allow them to destroy, allow them to take out their frustration. And I've said this all along, and now the audio tapes only confirm and corroborate what I've been saying.
It's obvious that the leadership, quote-unquote, of Baltimore wanted, for some reason, to allow these pieces of garbage to do what they did. When most Americans around the country watching this unfold were probably going, okay, now let's see the law enforcement go and stop them and, you know, do your job. And when it wasn't happening, it was pretty clear that this person, this Rawlings person, sent the message down, hands off, let them destroy. Obviously, she said that. And we talked about this before the interview. I've been saying it for years. Are we in America anymore, Sheriff?
My God, Dave, I tell you, there are many days I don't think we are in America anymore. Race relations alone. Now, I was having lunch last Thursday down in Savannah, Georgia, and among my lunch crowd were two diehard Democrats. And both of these Democrats were very much a part of the board for the Georgia Gang Investigators Association. They were very much a part of bringing me down there. I was a guest speaker and lecturer all day long last Thursday, and even they are sick to their stomachs over what Obama has done to this country. And these two Democrats said, "Sheriff, I will agree with you on one thing. Race relations are the worst they've ever been since I can remember." And both these men were in their 50s. They said, "This administration has set us back 40 to 50 years because there's such a greater sense of entitlement now among the African Americans. There's such a greater sense of empowerment now because Obama has told them, you can do whatever you do. You can do whatever you want to do. You can do anything you want to do. I've got your back. I've got your back." Listen, man, we are a country, and I can't say that we are a country of laws. We are a democratic society, and we cannot have a lawless society. Not only has Obama sent that message out there, but his commutations of these federal prisoners across the country, his visiting the Oklahoma City federal prison, he's sending a strong message to everyone. You can deal drugs. You might go away for a few weeks, a few months. If you have my way, you won't go away at all, but I'm not going to always be here. It's okay to deal drugs. Just be careful doing it, because if you get caught, you might go to jail for a few weeks or a few months. This is the message he's sending everyone right now. It's blown everyone's mind.
Unbelievable. Now, Sheriff, most of the questions that I asked came from a coworker who was born and raised in your state, in Maryland. And, of course, he sees what's happening. And he has one more question for you. He said, "Please ask the sheriff how much a bushel of hard-shell crabs is selling for." I don't know what that means, Sheriff.
Well, listen. You tell my fellow Republican brother that I have family members that are watermen that work the water every day. I'll get him a free bushel of crabs if he wants to come down here.
Sounds great, Sheriff. Sheriff Mike Lewis from Wicomico County, Maryland, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners today. And I had a great time hearing what you had to say, and I'm really looking forward to not just talking to you in the future, but seeing you hopefully on the national stage. Thanks so much, Sheriff.
Dave, thank you, brother. God bless you. And thank you for persevering and getting through to me and getting this interview taken care of. And I mean that. Thank you.
No, I appreciate it, sir. Thank you. And thank you for everything you're doing. Because without you, like I said, there wouldn't be too many people that Americans could look up to and actually have some hope. You're giving people a lot of hope. So thank you for doing what you're doing, Sheriff.
Thank you, Dave.